This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good morning. I'm Debbie Laux from Newport Beach, California.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm in equally glamorous Norman,
That's
Oklahoma.
Right.
You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 17th, and it's brought to you today by our auditors. Good morning, horse people.
I have good news and bad news for you on this Monday morning. First, the bad. It's Monday. But the good news is really good. Jamie and Glenn are here to guide you through another week
Debbie.
Filled with horse talk and a whole lot of fun.
Glenn.
Welcome to Horses in the Morning.
That's right. Glenn is currently in jury duty.
Jury duty. Sure.
I'm
Didn't
sorry.
You and I figure out that it's like President's Day? And I don't know about that government thing.
Schools are closed. Mine's. Mm-hmm. 6.5-year-old is missing first grade today because of President's Day. And Glenn seems to think that he's going to be able to tell us that he had jury duty.
Bad lie. Bad lie.
Total lie.
I don't think so. But it got us together. I'm happy.
Well, I'm like, you're the boss. You don't have to lie. Like, it's okay. You just like be like, Debbie's going to co-host with you. I'd be like, cool. Thank God.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, thank you for joining us. Yes, Debbie is my co-host today again because Glenn is lying. But you know what? He left Jen here producing as well. So we actually Yay. Have a producer today. Somebody's going to keep us in line, Debbie.
Oh, hi, Jen.
Cracking the whip. Oh, no, I'm not supposed to do that, am I?
No. No. No chains over the nose or anything.
No eye contact, though. Right at
you. No whips, no chains. Yeah. Oh, so thank you, Jen and Debbie, for both coming in and being a part of the show today. It's going to be a good one because we're going to talk to, this is a really big deal, Sasser Hill. She's the horse author. I mean, she's amazing. And then we're going to talk to Deanne from Horse Nation. We've got some happy stories. We've got some equestrian first world problems. It's going to be good. But now, Jen, now is the time you play the Daily Winnie music.
Oh,
goody. That's you, Debbie.
You, me first? Okay.
Yeah, that's you.
You forgot to give me instructions. So my Daily Winnie today goes out to BZ Madden. I'm excited for her. She has announced, it may sound sad, but it's really not. She has announced that she is, after Tokyo, going to be going back into the industry, semi-retired, but really bringing on and mentoring others into the position. And if anybody doesn't know who BZ Madden is, go Google her. She's amazing. She's done so much for the horse world. I'll call it the big old fat horse world that I don't know if there'll be another one like her. What do you think?
Is she retiring from like Grand Prix show jumping?
After Tokyo. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, semi-retiring. She'll keep her toe in it. But also, I mean, the best part, the Winnie is for her. She doesn't need to do, you know, mentoring. She doesn't need to give back, but she is doing that and
That's
in a
awesome.
Very big way. Yeah, I'm really pleased for her. I read this in the Chronicle, and it's a great article. People should go there and see all the things she's doing for the horse world.
Cool.
You know what BZ should be doing in her semi-retirement?
Mm.
She needs to start a podcast.
There you go. Oh, the stories. You know, she's been 20 years. She's had the same sponsors, the same people supporting her and everything, too. She could have so many great people on and so many great stories. Great idea, Jen. Let's do it. Let's put her to work.
Call her up.
Put her to work.
Debbie, you got people. Have your people call her people.
Her people.
All right. Your turn, Jamie.
I thought it was appropriate that I give my Daily Winnie to the Queen today, considering, you know, we have Debbie Laux, her dad trains all the Queen's horses. So I thought it was appropriate that I find a story to do with the Queen. And at the age of 93, Queen Elizabeth has made a statement. That's right. And the statement is not verbally, she has made a life change in her day-to-day wardrobe. And here's what it is. Her Majesty, this is her senior, okay, I'm going to say senior dresser, okay, which would mean that she has junior dressers.
Probably.
Her senior dresser, that's the person who dresses her, Angela Kelly, says, if Her Majesty is to attend an engagement in particularly cold weather, fake fur will be used to make sure she stays warm. Aww. The queen will no longer be wearing fur, which is fantastic because it's awfully farmed. And she won't get rid of anything she already owns. But they do say that the she will send a powerful message that fur is firmly out of fashion. The Queen of England will not wear fur on her body.
The neither should you. Firmly out of fashion. This alliteration is wonderful.
It's fantastic.
Fantastic.
Firmly out of fashion. The fur.
That is great. That's great. I am glad to hear it. Not even like little coyote around the neck or anything. That's really good stuff. Well, no, that's great. You know, because it's cold over there. Like, when is it not cold over in England? You know, I would.
I get really surprised when I see somebody in fur. I'm like, what? What are you doing? Why are you wearing that? That's so bizarre to me. So the Queen of England, you know.
She stays on the edge, man.
Her senior dresser, Angela Kelly. I wonder if her junior dressers agree.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And the interns.
Oh, my gosh.
Coming along.
Her intern dressers.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
I might be.
Ask your dad.
I'll ask.
Debbie, you just wrote a book. I saw you. You know what? First of all, let me say thank you for you. If you guys are not auditors, you should be, because Debbie Laux gave out like 20 Dooley halters to everybody, which was awesome. All they had to do was go in and vote on something you needed to help with.
And then you gave everybody
Dooleys. And now you're giving everybody a copy of a book that is emailing you. So tell me about that.
Oh, the assessment. Yeah, actually, yeah. For all you auditors, thank you for asking for the assessment. So that is a writing styles assessment that Sue Kane, who is a doctor, and she has, you know, all these degrees down her arm and everything. She and I, as horse girls, said people act silly around their horses. They really, you know, they're blaming their horses all the time. I hear words like bully and lazy and. Guess what? It's not the horse. We're not the bullies. No, we're not lazy, but we do have reactions that our horse interpret and that we don't even understand we're doing. So there is a riding styles assessment that we came up with. Actually, we use this statistician guy, Martin Gross. He's off the charts smart too, and he does all the number crunching. But Sue has done DISC assessments. If anybody's been in the corporate world or familiar with.
I had to do one of those.
Did you? Yeah. And you know, they're pretty darn accurate because they ask so many bazillions of questions that pretty soon you go like, just write down the first thought you have, you know? And so you go through all these scenarios and you make choices. It's a multiple choice kind of assessment and it's done, you know, just you, only you know the results, but you get this booklet back and then it talks about how you can interact with the different kinds of this quadrant of personalities. So like when you go to the barn and that person is freaking out over details and you just want to go ride, you get it. You know, they're pedantic about things, but there's strength in all the personalities and there's weaknesses in all the personalities. And I think sometimes when we see ourselves in that light, then we actually can tone some of it down if it's a dominant kind of thing, or we can actually get a backbone sometimes.
Well, exactly. And I was thinking too, like when I did that assessment, I realized too some things about myself that I just need to accept and not dislike and not give myself a hard time about certain things. Yeah, embrace it. Exactly.
Where can people find it? You know what? You can write to me, Debbie at MontyRoberts.com, and ask me more about it if you want. Or you can just go to writingstyles.com. So writingstyles.com, and they can take that assessment there. But if you write to me, I got a promo code going right now.
Oh, see, there you go. See, yeah. There's a benefit to listening if you Debbie's right. involved. Okay. So let's go over real quick what's happening at the farm, because you keep asking me for a photo of myself to put mm-hmm. in something for the movement. And I'm pretty sure I'm not a speaker, so I'm a little uncomfortable. Why you need a photo of me? What am I doing? What are you getting me
in? No. You're a presenter, but... You know, the movement, we're in our third year, our third annual, and the two years before, what we learned is that not only is this like really resonating with people to figure out.
Well, first of all, what is the movement?
Yeah, the movement. Yeah, it is a journey to learn about the qualities of horses that not only make us all mushy inside if we're horse people, but also that we can take into our vocations, whether we're a parent or a teacher or a therapist or anybody who understands that the qualities of horses can actually heal us, help us, revelations in our personalities too. So we've had over the last couple of years, we've had amazing foundational speakers like the founder of motivational interviewing, which if anybody knows about aversion therapies and things, that's all geeky and sciencey and everything. But guess what? He loves horses and he figured out how horses, being around them parallels, it's better than going to the office and laying on a couch and talking to people. And then also we've had like Robert Miller, the founder of Full Imprinting. You know, he's a vet from 50 years now, and he's written all these books. So we've had these speakers that come from both the horse world and the therapy world. And this year we have Temple Grandin. And if anybody has no Temple Grandin, Google her. Because Claire Danes played her in a movie, so Claire knows her, and she's really smart. And she is a full professor at Colorado State University and has been. In fact, they just built a $5 million building named in her honor. The reason she's so remarkable is because she is a flight animal. So Temple Grandin recognized this early in her life. Her mom, before that, recognized that she had this gift of being both in the human world and understanding and being very... she's very intelligent in that side of learning, but she also is autistic, full functioning autistic, and can think in pictures like animals do, like horses do, like dogs do. And she's written lots of books about that. And it's fascinating.
I just bought one online because of Mary Kitzmiller recommended it as far as the weaving stuff. Like she kind of explains things like that. So I'm excited. And the Netflix movie, I didn't know that there was one.
You gotta watch that. And it's gotta watch that. It's amazing. And in fact, Temple herself said Claire Danes didn't play her in the movie. She is her. In the movie.
Really?
Yeah. She said it is, you know, how often do people say that about a movie about themselves that, oh yeah, it's accurate down to the, you know, littlest detail. No, she said it is totally accurate. So when you watch this, you really feel like you'll get to know Temple. Then come in June, it's June 21, 22, and 23, which is Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Temple will speak on Tuesday, but you buy, you know, the ticket for the whole thing. And it's really cheap, actually. And it's in Solvang. And the best part is we have Jamie Jennings coming. We have Dr. Madison Siemens coming. We have Dave Mokel, gave a TED Talk on mindfulness. He came last year. We were just blown away. We had to have him back. And Dad will be working with Temple. So we've got Monty Roberts there. We have Ashley Mancuso, who's taken yoga on top of the horse. So we had her doing yoga on top of a Mustang last year. It was so great. I know. I can't wait to see you up there on these little Mustangs. It's so much fun. And they're just biofeedback machines. You know, I mean, yoga on steroids, really, when you're sitting on top of the horse, because the ear is flicking, watching you balance, breathe, all those things. Yeah. Yoga on a mat, never the same.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah, well, that's so great. Fun. When is the movement and where can people find out more information?
Yeah. Go to themovement2020.com. Thanks for giving me commercial time here. This is great. Themovement2020.com. And it is June 21, 22, and 23. And you'll be there. I'll be there.
And Dr. Siemens is going to be there. And I'm so pretty sure between him and your dad, I'm just going to like have this like love affair of these. Like, oh, I love you guys. I love
you so
much.
Cool. Cowboy poet. Dr. Siemens too.
I didn't know he was an artist too. He's a total Renaissance man. I'm like crushing already. I'm so excited. Yeah, very cool. Well, hey, thank you for letting us know about all of that. I have to tell you that there is something going on at my house which does not happen very often. Like very few and far between. I'm trying to think if I can ever remember this happening.
Oh no. What?
I think twice in life this has happened, and they've both worked out really well. But I'll explain. So in this is I'm selling out my husband right now, so I hope he's not listening.
Yeah, you're waiting for him to leave the room.
So Chad, bless his heart. One time we lived in Phoenix and we were looking for a lesson horse and a husband horse. And I found this Craigslist ad of this horse. I've told this story before. His name, we ended up naming him Will, which leads you to the assumption that we bought him. But I went and I saw the Craigslist ad was a photo of a horse. It was a Palomino and he was maybe like 75 yards from the actual camera. So it's like this tiny little, like far away picture of a Palomino, yeah, like in Western tack. And so we go out there, and this horse is sway back 25 and has one eye. Okay. Like, he's so stiff that he can't move. Oh. And we go to look at this horse, and the owner's just sell. She's selling him, just talking about how great he is. And I'm like, Chad, this horse is like 100. He's not going to be a lesson horse. Thank you. And he's like, get on him. Like, I don't have any tack. He's like, just get on him. Just go ride him around. See what he does. So I hop on this horse bareback with a halter, and I'm riding him around. And he's like, you know, can barely move his hocks. Yeah. Like, and all of a sudden I hear Chad say, we'll take him. And he was like, I paid her. He was $200. And he's like, I paid her $200. Shut up. And so we took the crippled, lame, one-eyed horse home, and he became a lesson horse. And we had him for 2 years before he passed away. And he was so great. So that worked out.
Chad's my hero.
Yeah, and then one time we went to the sheriff's department to look at a horse. They said, we've got this four-year-old thoroughbred, and then we think you could do something with him. So I go out there, and he's this little chestnut with a star. And I go, and they have a round pen, and I walk up to him, and I go to pick up his leg, just to pick up his foot, just to see what happens. And he strikes at me and tries to drill me in the mouth, you know. And I'm like, okay. And Chad's like, we'll take him. Like, what?
That's a story.
And he's like, you can totally fix this horse. Like, you're fine. It's fine. And that horse ended up being Joey, who was my, like, the super lesson horse. And now Abby owns him and competes in training. He's just a great horse. So track record. Chad has pretty good track record of picking horses, as disastrous as they may appear at the beginning.
Yeah.
So I go to take, I had these two mares that were here for training, and I took them back this weekend. They were completed with their training, or at least one had a health problem that is going to have to be addressed. So I take them back, and she's like, okay, this one is going to be really, you know, she came off the track 2 weeks ago, and she's going to be really easy to adopt out. I just need somebody on her for some video. And she pulls out this like almost jet black with a blaze, like a crooked blaze brick house. This mare, this is a mare, and she looks like she's ready to go to like the cutting futurities. She is like this diesel, really thick, really great weight, heavy mare that it has huge feet, you know, looks just and kind of comes out like, hey, sup. Like this attitude of just like, okay, sup. So I'm like, okay. She's like, you won't have to have her long. She's going to be really easy. And Chad is just like jaw dropped. That's his kind of just like, oh my God, I love that horse. I love that horse. I love that horse. This horse is great. So I take her to the trailer, not knowing what to expect. She jumps in. She's like, whatever. Walks in the trailer. Sup. No big deal. Walks around. I take the halter off of her because I have a little box stall. She just stands there. We went home. We were on the way home, and he's like, let's go get some food. I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to leave. Whatever. She like falls asleep in the trailer when we stop. Yeah.
Thoroughbred off the track, you say? Or
Two weeks ago. Thoroughbred off the track 2 weeks ago. She ran her last race. or came off the track 2 weeks ago. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Totally chill. We go and we have lunch, come back out. We drive all the way home. It's at, you know, an hour and 20 minutes, not including a stop for lunch.
Right.
Get all the way home. Let her go walk in the halter, walk in the trailer, put the halter on her, kind of come out. I'm like, okay, let's just see what happens. Cause sometimes they come out and they're like, new place, you know, and they're a little crazy. She gets out of the trailer, walks out, looks around, sup, how's it going? Cool. Where do I go? All right. No problem. I turn around and usually most horses, I can get some good video of them right when I put them out. Cause they're in the arena and there's cars going by and they put their tail up and they trot around. She's going to like, walks around, looks like, okay, what's up? Like the most chill freaking race mare ever.
And now, Chad's like, I know Nelda wouldn't have drugged her. So she's like, no, this is her.
Okay. No, this is her. And so I put her out and all that. And I was like, she's so like unaffected. Let me see if I can make like a little connection with her. And I put her in the round bin and I do a join up and she's kind of like, okay.
Whoa.
Well, I'm like, you know, she appropriately, I ask her to trot, I ask her to canter, she trots, she canters, turns around, goes the other way, does join up. Okay, cool. So yeah, that was like the night she got here. Yesterday morning, I was like, well, let's see what we can get done. And Chad is super excited about this horse. He is like he's been just talking about it. He's like, I love a horse that doesn't stress me out. And this horse does not stress me out. She's just like got this demeanor of like, she's totally chill and just no big deal. And I love her. I love her. I love her. She's big. She's so pretty. But of course, Chad doesn't ride. And so like, you, whatever, you know, you're talking about all this stuff, whatever. It doesn't matter to me because I know that as a horse, if you get a new horse, you have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let's just see what happens. So I join up, tack her up, do the long lining, go to get on her. He puts me up on her. I sit over her back, you know, and she kind of walks like everything is no big deal.
What?
So then I'm like, all right, well, I'll just get on her. And I get on her and she's like an old cow pony. Just walks around the round pen. I'm like, well, open the gate. Usually after about 3 days in the round pen, I'll take him out into the arena. Sure. But usually I long line him in the arena first. I mean, I incrementally make everything very easy, but she was so chill. Okay. Open the gate. So open the gate. I go out to the arena. She walks around I'm like, all right, let's trot. She starts trotting around. No big deal. Like, let's go over the trot pole. I haven't walked her over the pole. Let's see what she does. She just goes right over the pole. No big deal. I'm like, what is wrong with this horse? This is not normal. This is not
to give her away.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Here's what's awesome. Her owners are super, really wealthy, really wonderful, powerful people. And when they breed horses, they breed a handful and they will not run them in claiming races. They will not run them in anything less than an allowance race. Gotcha. So this mare actually was fairly successful. And I think they gave her like a month off and they brought her back, you know, and she's like, nah, I don't really have it
not
in
that
me.
Fast.
She's like, I'm not going to keep up with these allowance races. She's six, you know? And so they retired instead of sending her to claiming to lower races. They're like, okay, you know what? You're done. We're not going to run you in anything less than an allowance race. If you're not keeping up with them, we're going to donate you to Horse and Hound where you'll get trained and find a lifetime home. And she's a broodmare. She's got great bloodlines and she's been very successful. They're like, yeah, you know, we have enough horses. We don't need to breed anymore.
Oh, man. They're the responsible parent that should be.
Exactly.
What's her name?
Oh, God. Her name is Little Bit Okie.
Okay, there's got to be also a chick in the armor somewhere.
And also why Chad likes her. He's like, she's a little bit Okie. So he calls her Okie. And so I had a video that, you know, I make all these videos for the people to see because most of the horses get adopted off the riding videos that I make. And so he takes all the videos like, okay, airdrop them over to me from your phone. And he's like, no. I'm sorry. What do you mean? No, you're going to have to airdrop these so I can post them. Yeah. He's like, I don't want you to post them. Like, what do you mean? I don't want you to post them. I don't think we should promote her at all. I don't think we should post. He is in love. Aww. He is in love with this mare. He doesn't ride. What the heck? He's like, it just seems like a horse you'd have a lot of fun with. I think you should get her. And I'm like, babe, we're minus one stall right now. Like, we have seven stalls and eight horses. He's like, we can just make it work for a little while. Like, who is this man that I married, right? So I woke up this morning. I was like, here's the deal. You go ride her today.
Oh, good idea.
And he's like, but she just came off the track 2 weeks ago. You think that's a good idea?
No, like, you're right. It's crazy. But it's crazy. A good idea.
I'm like, she'll you're getting fine. On her today. So check out my Facebook page later to find video of Chad riding the horse. He has to. I mean, he just has to do it. If you love this horse that much, right. You have to get
daddy's
on her.
Horse. This is going to be daddy's horse.
I mean, we have the Duke. Duke is like 27 or 20. I don't know. He's over 25. You know, like maybe we do need I don't know. This just seems.
Well, his record is intact so far. So let's just watch how this plays out. I love it. I love that.
Do you want to follow this adventure that we have? This is the man I married. This is insane.
Yeah, no. Well, you turned him into a mush. What can I say? Horses.
Minimum mush. Well, hey, before we get to our first guest, Sasser Hill, let's hear a little bit about Greenflower, and then we'll come back with Sasser.
And now our own Dr. Wendy Ying speaks with Roger from Greenflower Botanicals in a series we call CBD Oil 101.
Well, in our continuing series about CBD oil, we're going to discuss how to use CBD oil to treat some chronic inflammatory diseases like EPM, Lyme, and fibromyalgia. Roger, how can CBD oil help us with these problems?
Well, again, Wendy, CBD, again, probably one of its big claims to fame is its anti-inflammatory properties. And anti-anxiety properties. A lot of people know about that. So it can be very effective for the type of issues that you're talking about. But also along with that, some people don't really recognize that CBD or cannabidiol, as it's actually the long-form name, is a neuroprotectant. And so it works in with the central nervous system and the limbic and paralimbic system in the brain and can be used and can be highly successful for all kinds of neurodegenerative conditions as well.
Yeah, like the fibromyalgia in people and Lyme disease and EPM, that's all we think about those as neuro diseases, but also it's an inflammation of the nerves that's causing them to malfunction. So we need something more than just pain relief, and CBD oil can help with, like you're saying, to protect the nerves and cause them to be less to fire less aggressively.
Yeah, I mean, actually, you know, you're getting, you know, attacking it from several vantage points there. But, you know, the interesting thing is that all those things that you're mentioning can really take people for a loop, can be very difficult for them to find some kind of solution. So one of the things I would just say is, hey, it's really worth a try because we're seeing some incredible results out there with the kinds of things that you're mentioning. And if you're struggling and you can't find anything and everything you're trying is not working, do yourself a favor and get a hold of some CBD oil because it really could be a game changer for you.
Well, that's great. And how can people find out more about Greenflower Botanical products?
Sure. You just go to greenflowerbotanicals.com and all of our products are listed there on our website and a whole wealth of information as well and research to learn more about these things. And also make sure if you choose to try some of the products to use a special coupon code we have for HRN listeners. Just use coupon code HRN, and that'll get you 20% off your first order with us.
If you show your horses, please check with your federation on the legal use of CBD oil.
I am so pleased to have a very accomplished author. This is a big get in the world of guests. Debbie, we have none other than Sasser Hill on the air. That's hello, awesome. Sasser.
Hello.
Thank you so much for taking some time to join us. I bet you're probably sitting at a typewriter or a computer right now. What are you up to?
I am sitting at my computer looking at my to-do list.
To-do list. Write another awesome novel today. Go. Yeah. I mean, what is on your to-do list?
Well, to promote The Travels of Quinn, which we hopefully will do now to a degree, because it's a really good book and it's selling very well.
Tell us about Travels of Quinn.
Well, it's when I moved here into South Carolina, I was fascinated by the culture of these Irish American traveler, sort of American gypsies, and the biggest group of them in the United States are right here in Murphy Village, South Carolina, which is about 35 minutes from where I live. So a lot of people down here have had dealings with them, and I was able to go to talk to the judge who has tried them, talk to the police officers that have arrested them. I went to the jail where they've been held on from time to time because, of course, my heroine does get arrested. So I wanted to know what the Aiken Detention Center looked like, smelled like, felt like. And I was taken on a tremendous tour by the head of the detention center. And it really did help me to write that section of my book. And I went to the courthouse and watched some trials so that I would know what it would be like for my heroine when she's dragged before the judge and sentenced. So that kind of made the book more fun for me, and I think a much better read for readers.
Do you typically do that kind of in-depth research for most of your other books?
I do. Of course, all the street horse racing mysteries were easier for me because I spent 30 years raising, breeding, racing, training, breaking thoroughbred racehorses. So all I had to do was like pull up the file out of my mind, the memory. But it's kind of fun to learn new things. I mean, it isn't kind of fun. It is fun. The thing that I like about the book is that even though it's about gypsies and who are scam and con artists, it still has horses because this girl, the heroine, is only 19 and she's sentenced to work off a debt because she was caught stealing jewelry on a farm that raises gypsy banners. And I thought, well, I'm going to write about gypsies and we're going to put a horse in it. It has to be a gypsy banner, right?
Right.
That kind of makes sense. Yeah. So, like so many young women, she finds that she loves these animals and that she's drawn to them, and that they're helpful to her, as they are to so many people. So many young girls have been kept out of trouble because they have horses in their life.
Guilty.
And so that theme does run through most of my books.
Yeah, wonderful.
Well, we talked a little bit about, I was asking you about your research that you had to do by going into court, and you're like, I just remember my time at the track, and I pull that up. But like, I'm looking through your bio, all the books you've written in there. A meth lab and prostitution. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's more than just horses on a racetrack here, Sasser. I mean, how do you come up with all of these ideas? And you can't just make stuff like that up. You had to do some research for those things too.
Yes, absolutely. I read so much stuff about methamphetamine and what the labs were like and what the people looked like, when they chew their teeth, grind them down to nubs, and they get sores and nervous. And so you do have to learn about those kinds of things if you're going to put them in your book. And since I moved in the past from racetrack to racetrack, it was always at each track there was a crime that Nikki Littrell, the heroine of those Nikki Littrell books, would get involved in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it just made it fun to write, and I think a good read.
Absolutely. That's the Nikki Littrell mystery novels. So you've got Racing from Evil, Full Mortality, Racing from Death, The Seahorse Trade. I really think that, you know what, Jen, we need to read one of Sasser's books on the air. We've read several different authors' books on the air. We need to pick one and read about you. I actually am really interested in reading Gripping Tales of Faction Fiction, which is a bunch of short stories and a Nikki Littrell book.
It's a compilation of, and some of it is true stories from my life. So that kind of makes it interesting. That's why it's fact and fiction.
Oh.
Because some of it is just what I had a filly, a beautiful race filly that somehow managed to cut her tongue in half. And it was a very, very traumatic experience. And she almost died. And we stayed with her and she came back and she won a bunch of races. I mean, it's an amazing story and it's true. So that's why I thought I would write both fact and fiction.
Ooh, I want to read that one on the air. That'd be fun. I'll read you guys short stories for the day. That's really great.
Sandra, it sounds like you've had horses save your life a little bit. Has there been a few in your life that were instrumental that way?
Well, my father died when I was 16, and I got in with a bad crowd, and I was heading in the wrong direction, and there was a wealthy gentleman in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, named Alfred H. Schmidt, Sr., and he raised and raced steeplechase horses, and he owned Tuskalee, who was a two-time Eclipse Award champion steeplechase horse, and he just took me under his wing, and he stuck me up on a horse that had come right off the steeplechase track in Hillmar, and I belonged to the Maryland Hunt Club, my family did, and so next thing I knew, I was off fox hunting on a steeplechase horse. And I'm 16.
Wow.
And I have to admit, I passed the master a few times. But, this man basically saved my life. I mean, he put me in a whole other direction. And he gave me, you know, I remember how I was starting to bug my teachers at the school I went to, saying, can I have this weekend's homework now? Because I wanted to do it ahead of the weekend, so I would have the whole weekend for the horses.
Wow.
So, yeah, that saved me. That saved me.
Absolutely. Question. Yeah, so many stories like that. That's wonderful. And I bet that just is what birthed so much of your good writing out of that. Yeah.
Well, Sasser, people can find more information at sasserhill.com. This book just came out a couple days ago, right?
Congratulations.
Yeah, it came out on the 11th of February. And it's doing well. It's selling well. And I'm really pleased about that. And I'm actually, right now, I'm working on my fifth Nikki Littrell novel. It's called Shooting Star. And I'm about half of the way through, so it's just going to keep on coming.
And it's great. It's great. Sasser Hill is the author. The book is Travels of Quinn. You can find it, on Amazon, Apple, Barnes & Noble. You can go to sasserhill.com, sasserhill.com, and find it there. And if you haven't read any of these other books, you need to. Where have you been? Oh, my gosh. So fantastic. I just went ahead and bought Gripping Tales of Facts and Fiction because you sold me on that one. But thank you so much, Sasser, for coming on. And we look forward to talking to you again at your next book.
I hope you will. And thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's always great to talk to you guys.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Sasser.
I like need more books. Gosh, you're right. The short story one looks like a good read.
It just, I mean, and I'm kind of like that, kind of like five books. We got a lot of work to do, but seeing one with short stories is kind of that works for my brain a little bit better. And for your 6-year-old who then will thrust something in between you and the book when you're trying to read, that happens a lot. Mom, look.
It's the the ideal format for mothers with young children.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
ADD and young children. That's right. Yeah.
True.
That's me.
Before we get to our song, I have some news that I have to share.
Oh, good.
And I'm a little emotional about it because it's kind of coming at a weird time. So. Oh. Stan Lee and Zara, their sire, a horse named Rubignon, recently passed away in the last week. But it has nothing to do with the fact that that was just a side news. I feel like I lost a horse, you know, I felt like it was mine. But side note, put that aside. Tomorrow is the day of, are you sitting down?
I am.
Stan Lee's castration.
Oh, brain surgery.
Okay. Brain surgery for the young colt. And he is so chill already. And Chad is very unhappy. He actually thinks, I have to leave. Yeah. I have to leave during it. I can't be a part of it. I can't be out there. I was like, we might need your help. And he's like, nope. Not going to help you. He's ready to go on a trip again. He's been home for 3 days.
Flying out of here.
So, yes, Tomorrow is the day, ladies and gentlemen, where Stan Lee will be laid down in my arena and have his brains
removed. Yeah.
Or put in.
Or feet in the air. Yeah, I know. It's a tough day for everybody who doesn't have to deal with him.
I'm sad because I am sad that he's going to have surgery, but I'm not sad that he's going to be a gelding. You know, like there's no part of me that's like, oh, he's going to not be able to breed his dad. He was completely unrelated. I just am sad that he has to be laid down and go through pain.
I know part of him being taken off. I get that part too. Yeah.
Tomorrow's that day. All right.
I just have to remind Lucas it never happens to boys.
Yeah, he'll be in school.
Oh, good. Okay, there you go.
Dad, Mom, what do they do? Don't worry about it. Yep. What are they doing to Stanley? It doesn't matter. What are they doing? I can't explain it right now. I don't need to.
Yeah. We lied to him about Santa Claus. You know, we lied to him about a lot of stuff.
Why are they taking those out? Well, so he can't have babies anymore. Really, how are babies made?
I can't do it. Yeah.
I can't get into that. So
send him to school.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of, I don't know what you're talking about, Debbie, because if Lucas, I told him, you don't believe in Santa Claus? Fine. Santa Claus won't bring any presents. I believe!
No. Believe.
I believe.
The tooth fairy and everything. I know.
No, that's fine. You don't have to believe.
I feel like such a liar. Just like, you know, and then perpetuated with the second child. I had the second boy. And it's like, you have to lie to him.
It's not a lie. Because if you don't believe, he just doesn't bring you anything.
I needed you. Yeah.
All right. Now that hopefully people aren't listening with their small children.
Oh, good point.
And again, if you don't believe, Santa's not going to bring anything. We are going to go to, speaking of castration now with Stanley, let's play A Horse That Can Fly. It's a Fulton
Thompson. Totally. They're completely unrelated. Yeah.
But it's a good song.
That's a segue. Thompson,
bring, to liven things up, lighten up a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
All cooped up, feeling all caged in. Need to get a little air so I can breathe again. Got a thirst in my heart, hunger in my eyes. Need to satisfy my soul, free my wild side. My wheels have been spinning like crazy in my head. Gotta get back to living before I forget. My sights are set where that green grass is. A good running start to get me over that fence. Yeah, 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 yeah. 'Cause I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride. Fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, I'm holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah. Got a load on my back and a lot on my mind. Yeah, the weight of this world really gets me sometimes. There's a freedom inside me I've been missing so much. Gonna kick the gates wide open and leave a big old cloud of dust. Yeah, 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 yeah. 'Cause I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride. A fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, I'm holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah. Giddy up, look at what lies on the horizon. Second star to the left, then straight on till morning. fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. Saddle these dreams, hold them on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah, I need a horse that can fly. Going off to care, going off to gonna free my wild side. Yeah, I need a horse that can ride. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was Templeton Thompson. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. Of
course. Oh, I had my
player. You were on
mute. I had
mute,
my mic on. I was on mute. I was, I was just talking away.
Yeah.
Horse that can fly. Yeah. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. And I have breaking news.
Breaking news. I didn't find the breaking news bumper.
Where's the breaking news bumper?
Come on. It's the breaking news. Beep, 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 beep. Breaking news. We have a problem here at the farm. And that problem is skunks.
Oh,
Bella the Basset Hound has now been sprayed by a skunk.
Oh, she's so close to the ground. She's
I'm
coated.
Like, yeah, sure, baby, come on in. And Chad's like, don't let her in. And of course, she comes running in and jumps on the couch in my office. And no, this is, if you're keeping count at home, that's the second dog that's been sprayed by a skunk this season. Yeah. So I have some work to do afterwards, but thanks to the auditor who gave me the secret recipe, which is hydrogen peroxide, baking soda, and Dawn dish detergent, which I currently have a large stock of all of it because of the last time that the little dog got sprayed. So that will be my my post-show glamour lifestyle.
You're such a rock star. My gosh, that's going to be bad in the house. It's bad enough outside.
Ooh. Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. Sorry. All right. Are we ready for Jen? Do it.
Which one am I doing?
The first world problem.
Oh, there it is. Okay. First world problem.
Now, Debbie, I hope you're thinking of one of your equestrian first world problems. So let me just remind everybody, if you have an equestrian problem, it is a first world problem. That is just the life we are living right now. And these are all submitted by our auditors. On Sunday night, I put a post in the Horses in the Morning Facebook page, auditors Facebook page, and I say, what are your problems? And then these are the real life truths that people feel they need to share with all of us to cleanse themselves, to educate, to relieve, to whatever they need to do. mine
a
is
real thing. A real
mine
thing.
Is obviously my husband thinks he needs another horse. Like, God, husband.
Mine is down a stall.
Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding you. If I brought a cat home, I would get a divorce, Debbie. I mean, I swear.
I was suggesting a goat, but she said no.
Yeah, goats and cats, and he's leaving. He's packed up his bags. So this one comes from Haley. And so she says, I've been in desperate need of a vacation and I'm finally on one. So I hired a friend to pony sit, but now I can't stop thinking about my horse and worrying she won't blink him correctly or give him enough attention. Let it go.
Let it go. That's
it
true.
Go.
Control.
You know what? Just hope he's not dead when you get home. That's the only thing I ever worry about. Is like,
dead, not dead. Alive? That's all. Yep.
Send me
dead,
proof of life.
Proof of life.
Send me a photo every now and then. Proof of life. I don't care if they're blanking it. They're fine. No, I totally get worried too. Like when Chad was, I was gone last time I was in California, Debbie, at your place.
You're coming.
I came. I'm coming.
It might be the same story.
And it was raining and cold. And I'm like, I know he didn't blanket anybody. I know he, and he probably didn't bring him in because he doesn't want to clean up the stalls. Blah, blah, blah. You know what? They didn't, they were fine. Laura says, I went to the largest tax sale of the year, and it's like the largest in my part of the state, and I still didn't find two of the things I needed.
That's sad. What?
Laura says, I needed new glasses, and I need new glasses. But then I had my gelding scope for ulcers, and now I have to treat them, and now I can't afford glasses.
I can't see anything. That's all right.
Can't see nothing, but my God, the horse has ulcers. I get it. Kristen says, I got a free cooler with my Dover order, but it's like super ugly and not my horse's color at all. Doreen says, my new super fancy dressage horse is so tall that when he lifts his head up all the way, I can't get the bridle over his ears.
Okay.
You have a problem
you can solve. Come on.
Super fancy dressage horse is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, it's true.
We don't need to fix the problems, Debbie. Trust. Whoops. Don't try to fix them.
The first world problem stuff. Okay.
No soul. Holly says, I own 21 acres and I just can't decide where to put my round pen that was given to me by a family friend.
Oh my gosh. Two problems.
My fourth, Cynthia says, my fourth level dressage mare just had her stifles done on Saturday. So my lesson tomorrow is either going to have to be on my 13-year-old or my 6-year-old. She has a lot of horses. Yeah. Poor thing. She has to decide.
Rotate.
Kayla, this one's really good. My new barn has been building a cover for the arena for like the past 3 weeks, but worst of all, it's going to block the sunset. Covered arena. I'm going to complain about the
blocking the view.
Go outside.
Keep it. Yeah.
April says, my wheelbarrow broke, and so I had to use a replacement, but it won't fit through the stalled doors. And it's a photo of a backhoe. Oh. She's mucking stalls with a backhoe.
Yeah, she is.
That is not a problem.
Problem.
Kimberly, she always has really good ones. I'm coming back from a trail ride, and my horse pooped all over the driveway, and my gardeners had just left after they blew and cleaned.
I did.
I know. Oh, God. She lives in SoCal. You know, what are you going to do? Lisa. Oh, God, this is great. Lisa says, I took my beloved little horse away for a fun camping weekend to enjoy some quality time with him. And I was really looking forward to riding him on the beach in the ocean. But then he got like a totally freaked out. And I just had to swim him while I walked him around. And it's a video of her in the ocean frolicking with her horse.
Oh, don't we feel sorry for her? No,
I totally feel sorry for her. It's like so sad. Oh, my God. Rachel says, I can't buy a new tractor right now because we just bought a farm and a new car.
Well, you have to stop somewhere here.
That's great. Oh, and then Jenny, bless your heart. I went out to do chores last night and I had to get 3 knots out of the water hose because my husband did chores the night before.
Ugh. Tough. 3 knots. Here you go.
Some of you have real problems. There's real vet. I know that's the whole thing. That's why it's the first world problem is,
sorry, I'm interpreting for everybody.
Yeah, you can interpret. Serenity says her commute to and from work isn't long enough to get in a full episode of Horses in the Morning. She needs a longer commute, obviously.
around the block a few times.
Matt says that I really want to get a new pair of boots from the Horse Expo to replace mine in a few weeks, but I stepped in a puddle yesterday and I got a wet foot and I can't wait a few weeks. Okay, final one. We'll go to Nana. She says, a giant cedar fell in my backyard and my paddock last weekend. And it miraculously only took out a little bit of fencing and no structures and no animals. And I got it all chopped in some beautiful wood chips to fill the barren wasteland that was to have the pony and goat paddock. But now I have to spread it.
Oh, I'm thinking that sounded pretty good. I don't know.
Oh, okay. We have to spread
Poor
it.
Thing. She has to spread it. Oh God. What do you gonna do? Oh, let's finish with Sandy. Sorry. I want a pony. My granddaughter is 4. It's probably too soon for a pony. I don't need a pony. She trotted on my OTTB on the lunch line yesterday, yelling faster. And then this would be pink board force number 3. And what I need is common sense. Help me.
The pony. Fight here.
get the pony. I mean,
wrong
that's the
place. Yeah, you came to the wrong place.
Get that pony. Get it. Anyway, there is your first world equestrian problems. Again, I'm yes. really sad for all of you that are having yeah. such sad problems. Yeah, and
it's different.
Yeah, it's really, you know,
yeah.
it's frustrating. It's Preventing a really hard life.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's give Deanne a call, Deanne from Horse Nation, and let's see what articles she's going to talk about today.
Okay. Cut there.
We've got Deanne from Horse Nation. Good Monday morning to you, Deanne.
Happy Monday morning to you.
What is going on in your world? First of all, remind everybody where you are. Where are you?
I am based out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
So you're currently in mud snow? Snud?
Yeah. Yes, we are having a full-on mud winter. The ground has been frozen like maybe twice this year. So abscesses are super fun.
Oh boy, is it abscess time?
Knock on wood. I don't want to jinx myself. We're okay right now, but that's after coming off of my mare. Got a heel abscess in her hind foot, which is always fun. And it took like 3 weeks to blow, and because it was deep and subsolar and like all the things. And of course, with like hind feet, it's not like a front foot where you're like, oh, it's a hoof problem. We're going to let this blow out. You're like, oh my God, is it a stifle? Is she lame? Is it her hip?
It's like, oh God. Yeah.
Like, is this it? You know? So anyway, but right now, hopefully everyone looks good.
Knock on wood, girl. That's what you have to do right now. Well, hey, what is going on Horse Nation? You've got a lot of people that are writing articles for you this week.
Yeah, which, you know what, I have to say is not a bad place to be. Yeah. I had jury duty all last week. I had a horse show this weekend. So if there's ever a week to have my freelancers and contributors like do the work, this is it.
Nice.
So we've got quite a few people stepping up and helping out, and then going into the rest of this week, you know, we'll kind of get back to business as usual.
You know, Horse Nation is kind of known for some, you know, light, fluffy articles with a lot of GIFs and a lot of, you know, images and things like that. But you actually took some time to write kind of a serious article. Tell us about I Am a Rock, I'm an Island, Feelings of Isolation in the Horseback Riding.
So that one, I got to thinking about it, and right, like, I'm somebody who totally overthinks everything. And as someone who came to riding as an adult because we had horses when I was a kid, but like, you know, my parents said, here's a bridle, go entertain yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so you go do some kamikaze riding. At the time we lived in the desert, like in the wash, and you know, you think that you can stay on. So that means you're a good rider. But it's only as an adult that I've taken the time to try to like learn how to ride, which is this whole new, like really humbling thing.
Yeah.
And especially like as an adult, when you know the ground hurts, so you have like all, you know, all this fear that you didn't have as a kid. So I was thinking about that in terms of like showing horses, and for as much as we like to be like, oh, our horses are our partners, and they are part of your team, and it's all about like your own progress, it's still really hard not to look at other people and say, and you know, and think, oh my gosh, they're so much farther than I am, or oh my gosh, they're so much better. Which, and being an athlete my entire life, I usually can focus on my own, I hate to say journey because that's cheesy, but like really like my own journey. You know, in horses, it's been hard, and it can be really, even when you're surrounded by people that you love, who love horses just like you do, you know, and all the stuff, it can feel really isolating when you feel like you're the only one whose horses acting like an asshat. Or,
yeah.
You know, can I say that?
You can say that.
or like the only one who, you know, can't seem to keep your seat. You know, like all the things that we struggle with as riders.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. I get invited to go, you know, I ride by myself all the time and I ride at my house all the time. And then I get invited to go places and I'm on the crazy one every day, yeah. You know? And I'm always like, what are these people doing differently to make their horses calm in places? And sometimes it's just the horse, the experience of the horse, the experience of the rider, the drama that I had last time that I'm expecting this time, you know? And so it all can be a snowball effect. And it's just one of those things. You just got to get through it. But yeah, it's hard not to look at everybody else and be like, how come they can do it and I can't?
Well, right. And you know, and the truth is we've all been there. Like, you know, today might be your day to be on the crazy horse and tomorrow it's going to be somebody else. But when it's your moment, it feels like, oh my gosh, I've caused this. What have I done wrong? Like all the things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, even if the horse isn't being crazy, like even if you're just not getting your job done, you know, and it seems like everybody else is. But I mean, everyone I talk to, every time you walk out of the arena, or at least among the people that I ride with, we can all list every single thing we did wrong, no matter how it looks to everyone else.
Isn't that crazy? I'm now like having to film a lot of my riding and I'm just like, oh my God, it didn't look that bad. It is funny. Well, this article is I Am a Rock, I'm an Island, Feelings of Isolation in Horseback Riding, and it's on horsenation.com. And then Ainsley Jacobs wrote an article called What the Truck Just Happened. Tell us about that one.
So Ainsley writes like an every other week blog on Horse Nation. I mean, and she has her own website like Ride Heels Down. So she writes for herself as well, but she's an eventer. I'm not an eventer, but I love reading her stuff. I think she's funny and smart and shares the woes of being a horse person that, you know, we can all relate to no matter what your discipline. And she was talking about, you know, riding an event and she's going through and everything's feeling great in cross country. And then there's literally a black truck on the other side of a jump. And again, I don't event, so help me out. My terms are going to be 100% wrong here. But like she's going cross country, comes out of, I think, a tree line and gets ready to go for a jump. But there's a truck directly behind it. So, of course, I would die. I would die. I give her credit. She was like, oh, I slammed on the brakes and I didn't think to just circle. I'm like, well, you stayed on, so you're probably already 5 steps ahead of where I would have been.
So this was somebody who was in the wrong place at the wrong time on that truck. Yeah.
Yeah. It was somebody who apparently was trying to like sneak and do some fishing in a pond where they shouldn't have been fishing. At least that's what the kind of the consensus was by the end. And Ainsley sort of laughed. She goes, oh yeah, sneak and secretly do some fishing during a horse show with hundreds of horses around riding the course. Like absolutely the time to go and try to fish.
Why would the jump judge not say something? I have more questions than answers here. I don't understand it.
And I know that she was apologized to at the end and everything. So I don't know. I don't know the answers to those things. I just thought, I thought it was a funny story. I appreciated her wit. And again, like, can't you just imagine coming out and facing this jump and being like, what the truck?
Yeah. I mean, there's a truck behind the jump. Like, there's no way around it. You can't jump that. It's very right. intimidating looking. So definitely go check that out. What the Truck on horsenation.com. And then finally, we've been kind of following the journey of Funny Bunny Bee's injury. And you'll love this, Debbie, because Debbie's mom has a horse named Steel Buns. And yep. this oh, is, nice. They call this horse Buns as well. And it's kind of it's been an ongoing saga of following the Marcella?
Marcella. We can call her Marcy, though.
Marcy's. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I've thought. Her kind of the journey of rehabilitating a fracture, torn tendon, soft tissue damage, and all of it. So what do you think about all of these articles that she's been writing, Dan?
You know what? I think it's good for readers to see because, again, no matter the level at which you ride, like whether you're like a backyard horse owner or like a big time, you know, 5-star eventer, I mean, we all deal with injuries. Like, for as smart and sensitive as horses can be, they're also like really dumb, right? they do these things to themselves and you're just like, what the truck? Yeah. And, you know,
on that too.
And, right. And granted, you know, they're not always able to be rehabbed to the place where they were before they got injured. But be that as it may, they can still, if they can stay sound and whatever, you know, they can still have a purpose. And so I think that Marcy's series is really kind of important because it is frustrating, you know, and her horse is stall bound for months and months on end. And it results in things like broken panels and stall doors when you've got a 5-year-old thoroughbred on stall rest.
On stall rest, yeah.
And only being allowed to be hand walked. And so like this article this week, I thought was awesome because she addressed that question of like, well, why did I choose to go this route as opposed to the alternative? And, you know, and some people are like, oh my gosh, you know, of course you would rehab it, like euthanasia. Why would you even consider it? But that, you know, when horses are injured and especially a leg injury, that's a real option. They might never be comfortable. Like, right. Like they fracture a bone. It's not like a person where you can be on crutches and rest it. You know, they always have to bear weight. So what I loved about this piece is she's going, you know, I'm giving him a shot and he's healing and he's a fighter and it's going well. And he is my partner and my teammate. And so it's this really, you know, for her, she goes that, you know, I wanted to see it, how we did and how it would turn out.
And I love that the last article in this was rehabbing. Buns has a death wish, you know, so it's like she's really taking you through the ups and downs. So definitely you can go check out all of these articles on horsenation.com. And it's called Rehabbing Funny Bunny Bee's Injury. And then the list of all of them is on there. Well, Deanna, as always, thank you so much. What's coming up on Horse Nation now that you're done with jury duty?
Oh, geez. So don't ask me this on a Monday morning after. Because I'm sitting here not looking directly at my computer to tell you my list, and I haven't had enough coffee this morning.
You know what? Just say, hey, it's Monday morning. It's going to be an action-packed week. We've got some great stuff coming up for you this week. Yep. So check in back at horsenation.com every day.
That's right.
There you go. How'd I do?
That's perfect. Jump in as me.
Perfect. Thanks, Deanne. Have a great day. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
All right. Sounds good. Bye.
Yeah, bye. Bye.
I do. I love it. I always follow Horse Nation first, and I love reading their articles because she's taken over, there's like a tone of actually. So, you know, with Leslie was just all funny, funny, funny. And now that Deanne's kind of the in charge over Horse Nation, there's definitely some more kind of educational, serious type things that are going on over there. And I, you know, I appreciate it. I love the funny stuff, but I also love like content, you know.
But it's entertaining too. I think they're clever. These people are writing too, not only Deanne, but the guests. Yeah,
exactly. Well, I have a happy story. Did we have anything else? Producer Jen, are you there?
I'm here.
Do we have anything else to do today? Are we done?
We have happy story to do, and I'm reading your happy story right now, and I can't.
Oh my gosh, isn't this cool? Okay, so my happy story of the day, and then we're going to do what did you learn today? The happy story of the day. I'm going to read this kind of as written because I can't possibly put this into my own words. A 23-year-old British design graduate has invented a biodegradable material made from fish waste that could one day replace plastic in packaging.
Oh, ooh.
Lucy Hughes used fish offcuts. I thought fish waste was like poop. Fish offcuts to develop a strong, flexible, translucent material called Marinatex, which looks and feels like plastic, can be disposed of as compostable food waste. Apparently, in the UK alone, 490,000 tons of fish waste is produced by the fish processing industry every year. It has a low commercial value, ends up in a landfill. And so she has a substitute now. She has taken, this is where the science comes in, the big brain stuff. She's taken red algae to bind proteins from fish skins and scales and turn them into translucent sheets. And a single Atlantic cod can generate the organic waste needed for 1,400 bags of Marinatex.
Wow.
Is that crazy? Now, I want to know, the question is, what is the first question that came to your mind about this?
What does it smell like in there?
Exactly. Have you figured out how to make it not smell like fish? Because, like, if you have a bag and you put your, like, you know, half-eaten apple in it, is your apple going to come out the next day smelling like fish or not?
Surely they've got that covered. I don't know. It just wouldn't fly.
My thought was, can vegans use these?
Oh, nice comeback. I
would think that you're, I don't know. That's a great question. Some of us who are vegetarians that don't like people wearing fur, thanks, Queen, I would use these because it's going to be waste anyway. You know, but you're right.
It's
vegans probably.
Than plastic by far, but it is like, still made out of a crib.
Do you absorb any of it? Yeah. Yeah. Do you absorb any of it? You wouldn't. I mean, if your apple's in there, I know.
Algae and fish scales, like,
you know, we probably don't want to know what's in the plastic if you come to think of it, you know, what they do in the processing anyway. I don't know,
No, plastic can't be any better. I just it doesn't make sense to me that it wouldn't smell like fish, but you know what, we'll find out more. If I was to be a betting gal and play the
you are actually
that's true. Go ahead. But you know what, I turned down an opportunity to invest in Impossible Burgers.
Oh.
So that was stupid.
It was on principle. Come on.
Yeah.
Exactly. I want them to use this stuff to make horse feed bags. The jillions of horse feed bags.
Yes.
Going into the trash. Away.
True.
Make it out of fish.
This is a place to start.
This is a good start. Yeah. Let's all invest in the, what's her name? Lucy Hughes and Marina Tex. Buy stock, get in now. Hey, now what did you learn today, Debbie?
Right. Thanks for the heads up on that. The closest thing I'm coming up with is that Chad is the best horse agent that there is out there. I'm going to him. Next horse I need, yeah.
Right?
And you have a new horse. I also learned that.
No, I do not have a new horse, but I will have a new horse with brain surgery later today or later tomorrow. So, yes, tomorrow around 1:00 Oklahoma time. The little colt will be a little gelding. Bless his little heart.
Sort of reverse manhood.
Yeah.
So what did you learn today?
Oh, my gosh. I learned about all these books that Cesar Hill has. I think that's pretty exciting. And I want to read the fact and fiction. And I learned a lot about Horse Nation. And I learned a lot about you. And I can't wait for the movement. I'm super excited about it. It's going to be great.
Me too. I just want to sit there and experience it. So you guys do all the work. It'd be fun.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Thanks for having me. It's really fun.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on as usual. And Jen, thank you for producing and taking a break from rehabilitating your horse and his exciting adventures. Cut his leg off. Fantastic. Everybody have a great day. Spay, neuter, and geld.
There we go. See you tomorrow. CHA.
Then if it ends up in the ocean, it's no big deal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As long as the fish doesn't put the bag over his head. No.
Don't breathe.